Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. The trio is back. We're rocking our pyramid of, I was going to say power, but then it sounds really egotistical. I'm Jerry, Terry's here, Max is here, and it's, you know, the usual crew. We are smiling with our eyes today, so it's probably going to come through on the podcast that we're talking a lot with goofy grins on our faces, because this weekend didn't totally ruin our lives. It was awesome, you know. Friday I got older, so I'm now even older than 40. I am 41 now. And it was like this busy work day. It was like, and it was like really just meh birthday. You know, I had dinner with the family, but it was just, I couldn't do anything for myself or anything relaxing. So I told my wife, I was like, you know what? The whole weekend, this is just going to be my birthday weekend. It's not a birthday. It's the damn weekend.
Yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations
thanks,
for another
man.
Year on the earth, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. But it was the best birthday weekend.
Good.
It was so good. You know, it's like my kid played awesome in his academy game. He looked really good. I got to hang out, relax. I got to go for a couple of runs. And then, holy crap, Sunday, the Blues look money for one whole half. which we will give more details on later. So that's what's been going on with me. Terry has just informed us that he's going to be going somewhere very soon and possibly quoting Anchorman a decent amount. So Terry, where are you heading soon and when?
Later, in the middle of the year, summertime. I'm 30, so it's a big birthday. So I'm going to Rome for a week. So I'm going to be eating a lot of comfort food, you know, like pizza, the gelato over there, like ice cream, it's amazing. Yeah, just gonna do as the Romans do when in Rome.
Yeah,
probably wear a couple of Roma football shorts. I probably won't wear the tops because they probably don't do them in darts player sizes, but shorts, I'll be wearing those. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. Rome's an amazing city, and I can't wait. It's going to be great. Hopefully, I get to go and see the Roma stadium. I've typically forgot the name.
The Olympico. Stadio Olimpico.
Yeah, Stadio Olimpico, that's it. I'm going to hopefully go and see that while I'm there and have a little look around. I don't think there'll be any games on, though, because it's going to be around like late June. But
yeah,
looking forward to it.
Ironically.
Maybe they'll have a friendly or something.
Yeah,
there,
ironically, I did for my first year. I'm in my second year now, in my room for uni. I've got a poster of Totti. So, any Totti merch, send it my way.
Yeah, there will be in Rome. He's like a hero, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry's going to Rome for his 30th birthday, and this summer I'll be like, so I'm hanging out at Myrtle Beach. I'm so jealous. You know, you guys get to go to some really amazing places in Europe. I feel like, was it? Did you go to Barcelona? I know you went to Spain, Max.
Recently.
Oh yeah, and well, why pray tell are you wearing it now?
Because,
is this a coincidence?
Because Lionel Messi is just an alien. He's just not of this earth. He's the greatest football player of all time.
Anybody want to argue that?
Well, that was his 51st career hat-trick, and a free kick from about 25 yards was the worst of his goals. Like, he's just abnormal.
Mm. Opposition fans, like, even applauded him, didn't they? Like, off
yeah,
the pitch.
Shades of Ronaldinho, the Bernabeu.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And, you know, and that's the thing, like, you see a lot of people like trashing Messi or trashing Ronaldo, and I just lean back and I'm like, we get to watch some good ass players
yeah.
right now. You know what I mean? It's like a, it's a privilege to be able to see this, you know?
They won the double last year, and I feel like even now, like with the Champions League, etc., I think we're going into another era of Barca dominance. And what I've been most pleased about is, as you say, a lot of people doubt Messi, saying, you know, he's only that good because he played for Xavi and Iniesta for so long. Now, without Xavi and Iniesta, he's still proven that he's the greatest. So, yeah.
I'm really curious about the how rest of Champions League goes, though. It's, you know what I mean? Right now, I'm kind of like, yeah, it is. It's a weird... That was a weird draw, by the way.
We all know who's going to win it in the end. Let's just say it. You know what I mean? They're doing the double, aren't they? They're winning the Prem and they're winning the Champions League.
Oh, see, I was going to say Porto. I thought they had this wrapped up.
Seriously, though, if it does end up Liverpool-Barca next round, I would very much like to see Messi versus Van Dijk. Because as good as Van Dijk is... Messi is just on another planet. I'd like to see how he dealt with him. Be a decent
player. I'm just kind of like, you know, I don't want to see the show play anybody like ever.
You hope it's Porto, Barcelona in the next round.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Brahimi play. Just because we're linked to him like every 2 weeks, it'll still
every
never happen.
With him.
Yeah, it really is. I got really hooked on the fact that he might come here one summer. I was just expecting it to happen. All these Algerian sources came in and said, it's happening. And then total silence. That's just the way it works, right? That's the window. They'll have to go through that again coming up soon this summer. All right, enough catching up with the guys and what's going on in life. Basically, yeah, life is still happening. You know, I've got family stuff, Max has all kinds of school and career stuff, and Terry's got career stuff happening too. Our lives do continue despite the fact that we come on here and rant and rave about the Blues, you know, twice a week, which frankly is fun. So it's funny, Max, I thought you were actually putting in a cassette just then. That sound, it sounded like you were taking a cassette out and you're putting it in, like what's it, Star-Lord or Guardians of the Galaxy or something.
For her AP sound, but...
Yes. All right, so for pod people out there, it's an abbreviated recording session in segment number Chelsea reaction. Got to start with that because yay for that. Then we're going to talk about somebody who seems like kind of forgotten right now. We're going to talk a little bit about James McCarthy. What is to be done with Jaime? We got to figure this out, right? And then we're going to finish with a quiz. Pretty straightforward stuff. Chelsea reaction probably going to roll long. McCarthy, if we all agree, it'll probably roll short in the quiz. Well, this could go on forever because these guys just always get all of them right. So yeah, Chelsea reaction. Spoiler alert, so if you have the game on record, telling you right now, saying the score now, 2-0 for the good Blues. All right, the Blues that, you know, are better. Tale of two halves. And that's kind of where I want to start, guys. Uninspiring first half from Everton. For American people out there who watched on NBC Sports, there was some kind of commentator, the color commentator, and he was awful. He was awful. It's like he had no idea how Everton had drawn with Chelsea the first time. So when Everton were like not pressing and pulling far back, he did nothing but talk about how it was a stupid idea. And finally, the play-by-play guy was like, well, you know, this is what they did last time. He had not done his research. The jackass had not done his research. And even other Americans on Twitter said, this guy obviously hates us. It was terrible. So I just want to say, that was a shitty experience. But it was nice to have him just eat his own words later. That was beautiful. So... uninspiring first half. Guys, Terry, let's start with you because we do that. I think I just do that because Max was with me from way, way back, and Terry's only way back. So he's still sort of a guest, but not really. He's a regular. So, Terry, let's talk about the adjustments that Silva made throughout the game, but not subs. I'm talking more pressing type of adjustments. The different pressure and, you know, second half, what was different? I'll start with Terry and I'll go to Max. Same question. I have a feeling this is going to be a builder thing throughout the three of us. We're all going to add something new to it. So, Terry, what do you think about Silva's adjustments?
Well, he definitely started off the exact same way that he did in the away game. But obviously Chelsea were never going to play the exact same way they played in the away game at their ground, because they knew we'd done a really good job on them last time. So we weren't very good. The intensity wasn't there. We weren't closing down properly. We weren't closing down in numbers. It just was meek. Afraid, it was timid. One of the commentators here said, I think it was Gary Neville, and he got it right. He said, Everton looked like a side just waiting to get beat. Like, they don't seem to want to play a game with Chelsea. And it has to be said as well, like, on top of that, Chelsea played, and even Maurizio Sarri said, Chelsea played possibly their best half of football all season. They were absolutely brilliant in the first half, Chelsea, and to combine that with how poor and, you know, sort of nervous we looked, I'm amazed we got in at half-time, being all square. I thought we should have been 2, maybe even 3 down, like, just without the amount of chances they were having. We got away with it, though, and then in the second half, you could just tell him, right, that game plan that we worked on, that sort of spoiling the game for Chelsea game plan, that's not going to work. We're going to have to get about them. We're going to have to attack them. We're just going to have to go for it, because we can't be any worse than we were in the first half. And in the first half, our front three players, I think they were like the three players who had the least amount of touches of the ball. Or maybe it was Bernard, Richarlison and Sigurdsson. Like, Calvert-Lewin had a few, but our attacking players didn't get the ball very much. I think we were trying to build up too slowly, and then came off the blocks in the second half and just looked like a different team. I think they'd had a bit of a telling off some of the players who weren't really in the game, a.k.a. Richarlison, come out with a fire lit underneath them and just took the game to Chelsea. And Chelsea, as much improved as we were in the second half, went just the same velocity in the other direction. They just came out as a different team and were poor. And their passing was wayward. Their positional sense was awful. Richarlison won't get a weaker opponent all season than he did with Marcus Alonso, because he was everywhere. So Silva, people kick Silva when he gets things wrong, but he clearly recognised the issues with that he was facing at half time and adjusted it, and we ended up winning the game. So credit to Marco Silva, he did change things, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. Max, what do you got on this? You want to build?
Yeah, and let me just get my initial pessimism out the way. I genuinely thought we should have been 3-0 down in the first half. Hazard had one saved by Pickford and one off the post, and Higuain had another one saved by Pickford, which Michael Keane prevented from going over the line. And yeah, just echoing what Terry said, like, Chelsea were absolutely fantastic on the ball, and, you know, we were absolutely awful off the ball. I mean, I know, yeah, you could, if that's part of the game plan, and obviously it's paid off, but, you know, from where I was watching, obviously I sit just in the family enclosure, the Gladys Street end, like, the positional awareness of Coleman picking up Hazard was really poor. Players like Hazard and Ross Barkley too were just pulling the strings, getting in behind and dancing through the defence at times. But yeah, as Teddy said, and I think Seamus Coleman alluded to it when he was on media duties after the game, they seemed to get a bit of a telling off of Silva at half time, and I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin set the tone straight away when he played that ball across the 6-yard box. It got good. It got good. You know, it was a really good ball. It got Goodison, you know, up on the edges of the seat, which it really should have been from the off. Just to finish on the first half, I was concerned because it did look like the same kind of frantic defending that's seen us concede so many times toward the end of that Newcastle game, and that looked like where we were picking off. But it was a completely different second half. We pressed, we got in the faces, and we were, you know, I know the our goals came from the after phases of dead balls. So you've got the corner, and then you've got the penalty. But, you know, goals are goals, and I think Terry was the first one to mention this. If you know that was Marco Silva's biggest win as Everton manager, and fingers crossed now that is the catalyst for picking up 3 points against the other big teams that we've got left to play.
Yeah, it looked like the beginning. Like you guys, just to reiterate, it looked like we were starting the way we did before in our previous match with Chelsea. But it looked like at first it was almost no press. It was like the pressing was restricted to one half, and that was our defensive half. Then it looked like we gradually would start to situationally press as that half progressed. It did look like we grew into the game a little bit more in the first half. It looked like a lot of they had a lot of threatening chances. It looked like, honestly, in the first like 15, 20 minutes, it had very little hope.
Yeah.
You know, but it did look like we gradually turned up some situational pressure. Second half, it looked like we decided, you know what, let's actually, instead of trying to just not lose, let's actually go after them and try to actually get the win, try to actually score. We were pressing a lot harder, a lot higher. And additionally, our defense looked more compact. If you look at the beginning, that first half, Chelsea's runs, there were so many diagonal runs, and when one person went to one channel, someone else would fill where they were before, and one defender would track the first attacker, and then leaving that space open, and someone would fill. There was so much, that sorry ball, that channel filling, you know?
Yeah, and we seemed so timid to put a foot in at times, which was really quite frustrating to see, because when you think back to other classic games in recent memory at Goodison against bigger sides, the example that I used is back in Martinez's first season when we beat Arsenal 3-0. Straight away from the kickoff, Stephen Naismith goes right into Mikel Arteta. I was wanting to see someone do the same on Ross Barkley, just to get Goodison rare and you know, on the edge of the seat, as I said. So from that, you know, we were edgy, and just we looked like we were, as Gary Neville said, that we didn't want to play with them. But second half, as I said, came out and set a completely different tone. An interesting fact that stat that I found on Twitter: the front four in the first half lost the ball 31 times and only completed 18 passes. You know, juxtapose that completely in the second half, where Richarlison completed more tackles, sprints, and won the ball more than any other Everton player in a game this year. Like, it was a complete, like, you know, change in the performance, and you want to see that. I know we've got the international break now, but you want to see that same intensity and desire carried forward in the games we've got left.
Yeah, the defense just looked so much more compact second half. They looked like they knew what to expect. Hazard, I can't believe I'm saying this, not really much of a factor second half. If you watched, often when Hazard would get the ball, Coleman would drop. He would drop and defend more inside. Richarlison would drop and pick up Hazard. You saw him, Richarlison on Hazard, often. Respect to Richarlison's defensive work. Don't say that often. Don't feel like I say that often. Maybe it's a part of his game that I overlook often. But he defended really well on Sunday. Really impressed with what he did there. So it was, you know, I do think there was some inspiration coming from Silva in the locker room at the half, but I think there were some very intelligent tactical shifts made by him. And these are the kind of things that we look for, that we just crave, you know, put it in our veins, please. We just haven't seen a lot of that over the years from managers who have been really stubborn, you know? That was just, man... I was writing down players that deserve credit for yesterday. It's a long list.
A lot of them. For me, Jordan Pickford was man of the match. As I said earlier, like we would have been 3-0 down if it wasn't for him.
Pickford's the first name I wrote down. Although he's not. Well, I don't know why, but I thought he had a great game. It was like a reaction.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Second half, obviously the emphasis switches, and we play, you know, more forward thinking attacking football. And that's where, you know, the performance of Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison really, really improved. Like, they were holding the ball up exceptionally well when we were flooding numbers forwards. And it's interesting to see, in particular, Calvert-Lewin, because, you know, we saw that a much improved performance from him against Van Dijk in the Merseyside derby, where he didn't get the better of him per se, but you know, he didn't stop battling to the final whistle.
Right.
He won more aerial duels than any other player on the pitch up against Antonio Rudiger. His performances against world class centre halves are getting better and better by each game, and expose a young player to game time. It's the, you know, the rewards that you're going to see from it.
I thought Pickford played astoundingly, but I still think DCL is my man of the match just because of the work rate. But Pickford was the first name I wrote down. That's kind of funny how that works. Who performed well for you, Terry? Who's the first ones that come to your mind? And if it's the same ones, that's allowed.
A lot of them. But for me, some of the standouts were Richarlison, obviously. He literally... I think I tweeted at half time. I tweeted before the game and then reiterated at half time. We need some performances from some of these players now. We need performances from Richarlison, from Yerry Mina, from players like that. Different reasons, but Richarlison, we've spent a lot of money on him. We put a lot of investments of time and a lot of hopes into him. He's still a young player. He's still got a lot, to learn and stuff. I'm not saying he needs to be winning those games by himself constantly, but we need these games for him to stand up and be counted. We need him to have an impact on the games. We've got too many players who don't have an impact on the big games. No big game players, you would think that. And then he stepped up. He just really stepped up. So Richarlison looked like the player that we know he can be. And I was absolutely made up to see how well he was playing when he came back out and when he got his goal. Yerry Mina also, a lot of... fans had started to veer, and they still will. It's not like it suddenly stops with yesterday. But they veer into, he's not really hitting the heights that we thought he would, or the expectation we've put on him, he hasn't fulfilled that, so therefore sell him. He was veering into that bad buy area with some fans, and I thought that was ridiculous because it's his first season in the Premier League. He's had a lot of injuries. That's why Zouma has had a lot of playing time. Zouma was originally bought to cover for Mina and Keane, but he's had to play a lot more games than he expected because Mina's not always been fit and he's had a little bit of trouble in games adapting because obviously he's still quite rash for a Premier League defender. But he's got something. I will literally defend Yerry Mina till the cows come home. I think he's got something. He's unpolished. It's not like he's the finished article, but Richarlison, Mina, those two stood out for me. Much like Calvert-Lewin, Idrissa Gueye, every game just works his arse off, and it's like he's man of the match every week. He's just so invaluable to us, and if we do end up losing him for PSG, we can't really complain that it's a club of that size are coming for him. I'm going to have a job replacing him as well because he's so crucial to our team. He just tackles anything that moves.
Obvious additional positive vibes for Coleman. A couple of spots. He played an off pass here or there, errant pass. But honestly, he's doing all right. I don't have a lot of criticism for Seamus. Andre Gomez he looked like a guy in charge. I thought he was going to get a yellow way before he did.
I was going to say, I genuinely think that game was the best we've ever seen Idrissa Gueye and Andre Gomez play together. The way they shouldered some real defensive responsibility throughout the entire of the game, and it really told. I know Andre, and it was nice to see Andre Gomez having a go from distance every now and again, which obviously I think one of his shots forced the corner for the, I think, but to see those players take the defensive responsibility against, make no mistake about it, world-class opposition. I know they had an off game, but they are world-class opposition. And as I say, just hope sure we continue that going forward.
One thing I want to bring up as well, it's not specific to this game, but it was featured in this game. It was the good job that Marco Silva and the team itself has done in the last couple of weeks on facing down the issue of the Goodison Park crowd. They've done it the right way. They've turned around and put half of it on the crowd going, we like it when you back us, when you give us the big atmosphere, it makes us play better. But they've also taken a lot of responsibility themselves. After the Chelsea game, they were like, but we also need to give you something to get behind. And this is something that's been a problem for a couple of years. Even, I think it was Nikola Vlasic said when he said this season, didn't he, that last season, the players are terrified of the crowd because of the reaction if they're not playing well. And it's been a problem for a couple of managers now. And I'm glad that Silva has not just tried to ignore it and hope it goes away. And he's actually, you know, tried to get hold of the bull by the horns and said, listen, we need you to support us. We need you to you know, give us that 12th man effect, which a lot of half of the supporters who are of that same mind have gone, yeah, you're right. And they've got all banners and it looks amazing and they get, you know, the atmosphere is going. But then the other half who were like, no, you need to get us off our feet. You need to make us want to support you. They've also, met them in the middle as well and you know, had combative performances, the old school sort of like siege football at Goodison Park. It's like you need both. And if you can, long term, if you can cure that sort of disconnect between the team and the Goodison crowd, it's so beneficial to so many of David Moyes' best victories and Martinez in his first year were just forced over the line by the crowd. The Gladys Street used to suck the ball in the net, like when we needed a goal, and that's been gone for ages. And other managers have ignored it and tried to pretend it wasn't there. They've basically decided this season we need to address this. We need to get it sorted, and hopefully it sticks, because Liverpool and Chelsea have now both come to Goodison Park and we've got 4 points out of them. And I think the crowd's played a big part in that.
Yeah, in respect to the fan group, is it the Originals?
Yeah,
who've put a lot of work into trying to get some, you know, continue to generate more atmosphere, which is, you know, which is half of it. Exactly what Terry's saying. Moyes said the same thing you said, Terry. I think he was on TV this weekend talking about the Goodison atmosphere. It's two-sided, just like everything in life. It's not as complicated. It's more complicated. It's not just the team has to play, the fans have to be better. It's a little bit of both. You know what I mean?
Balance.
Yeah, balance. Yeah, Max.
Like, and they've addressed it. They've stopped ignoring it and trying to just hope it corrects itself. And you know, the manager's commented on it, and it's hopefully improving. And yeah, the Originals, that big banner, and Everton 1938, I think as well. I think they're another group. I think they were the ones responsible for the number nine banner. But the Originals have done stuff as well. All of those groups like that, more of that. There's never too much of that for me. I love all that. That's what you look abroad and you see fans doing it, and you just think, oh, that's amazing. We've got it in us to be some of the best fans in the league. But obviously we're not the type of fans who, you know, tell everyone that we are, because but we are, and we've been missing something for a few years, and I do get it. There's been a lot of frustration around the club, and it's seeped into the crowd, but it doesn't always have to be like that. These are a lot of new players, a younger team. We can hopefully build that connection between team, manager and supporters again, and it will take us so much further than if we try and do it without us.
Really quick, guys, before we finish, keep Sigurdsson on penalties?
No.
Six this year and missed half of them.
With
all
who?
Three of them.
Yeah, and there's no rebounds next year, is there? That you can't score rebounds off penalties next year. I think isn't that a rule that's being introduced?
No, I haven't heard that. Is that true?
A few people.
I would sort of hate that if that's the case.
I think you know, I don't know his exact penalty statistics, but I feel like quite a few of his converted penalties have been from the eventual rebound, haven't they? So you know what? Stick Dominic Calvert-Lewin on them. Put your centre forward on them. We haven't got Leighton Baines anymore, so just put your centre forward on them.
Just pick a name. Pick a play. For me, it's not even about technique with a penalty, it's about nerve.
And clearly,
it's just you just pick a side, hit it hard, and you know, you've got to, you know, just deal with it. Find someone in training and just go, listen, who wants to do it? Could be Andre Gomez, could be Luka Dean.
Luka Dean is who I was thinking, just because he takes those kicks outside the box so often, you know, but I don't know. But I think, when the actual penalty itself.
The short run-up, it tells the keeper what you're doing with your body position, and it's too easy to read.
Mm. Yeah, so it was really, and to be honest with you, it just wasn't, if you're going to go for a corner, actually go for the damn corner. I don't know. It's just like when you kick it that, when you leave it that far to the middle, you're just assuming you're sending them the wrong way. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, but he's Gylfi Sigurdsson. He can put it in the damn corner if he wants to.
Yeah, give him his credit, though. He put it, you know, he sent it the other way, didn't he, with the rebound pretty well, so.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll give him a little credit for that, but he's still Gylfi damn Sigurdsson.
I mean, it's 12 yards out of penalty, isn't it? I feel like if he was 24 yards out, he'd have a better chance. It's like, where the back is.
That's not a bad call.
It's like, why does he use it?
Oh, wow.
He's still not scored a free kick for us, has he?
Has he not?
No.
A direct free kick? He's hit some absolute raspers from, but must have open play.
Hmm.
Oh, that's Everton syndrome, that. You got absolutely class out free kicks, and then you put a blue shirt on, and all of a sudden you stop being able to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I expect Luca Dean to be struck by that next season as well. You watch.
Oh, I hope not.
Nah. Oh. We just need more opportunities. We'll get it. We just haven't been attacking very much lately, I think. So, all right. So, anything else, guys? Chelsea reaction? Feeling good? Yeah.
Feeling good.
Yeah.
Yes, warm and fuzzy. So that's it for Chelsea reaction. I'll be honest. Trying to figure out what other segment to do today, it was not easy because pretty much most of the talking points about Everton were covered in the match review. That's what mainly is what's going on with Everton right now. However, we've decided to kind of bring someone out of the shadows, so to speak. Max mentioned Idrissa Gueye got man of the match against Chelsea, played a really good game, but he's probably on the way out. All right, and I know once James McCarthy played against Gormaya in that full game, everybody's thinking, oh, he's going to be back in the squad a lot more. We're going to see a lot more James McCarthy because we had not been seeing a lot of Schneiderlin. Schneiderlin was nowhere, and so everybody's expecting McCarthy to be reintegrated and Schneiderlin to basically leave during the winter. And all of a sudden, Morgan Schneiderlin is a fully contributing member of the squad now. He looks Max's long-term commitment to Man Crush Morgan has paid off so far. All right,
I like them both. I like them both an awful lot.
But so Morgan Schneiderlin's, I guess, resurgence has left McCarthy in a really weird spot. So, we're talking about a passionate player who has dealt with some pretty harsh, one particularly harsh injury, but some other, you know, a lot of niggling injuries for a while. Now, let's pretend like if we had the squad the way it is right now, and somebody said, you got to sell or keep James McCarthy, what do you do with him, Max?
Like I said, that for me, it entirely depends on whether Idrissa Gueye getting that move to PSG or not. I'm a huge fan of James McCarthy in Martinez's first season when, you know, obviously James McCarthy was one of the first players that he brought to the club. To me, he played of the season that year, like alongside Gareth Barry in central midfield. And I know he might not got the same dynamic with, say, Andre Gomez there, but he proved just how much of a, you know, effective player he can be both defensively and offensively with his drives forward. It's quite sad to see. I was looking at him, appearances since signing for the club. Been on us for the last five seasons, and just due to injury and all, I think his groin and another problem that he's had, the numbers of appearances have just gradually gone down and down and down over the seasons. Like 34 in his first season, 28 in his second, 29 in his third, 12 in his fourth, four in his fifth, and that's it. Like, he's not played this season. Like, it's a really sad case, to be fair, because, you know, I personally think he's an absolutely fantastic player when he's fit and on form. But, as I say, I personally do feel at the moment Idrissa Gueye is our most important player. If we can keep him, that would be ideal. But it's looking likely that he is going to go to PSG, and James McCarthy does need to be given some, you know, proper consideration.
Really quick, Max, if we replace Idrissa Gueye with someone like a Decore or something like that, that type of player, does McCarthy stay on?
Probably, because I think if McCarthy was indicating him showing levels of form, such as in his first season, or anything similar to some of the performances that you see the core rate turning for Watford, then I think you'd consider him. But obviously, I genuinely don't think we'd do Watford business with Watford again after the whole shenanigans over compensation, the whole beef over Richarlison. I personally don't think it'd happen. But if we were to get, say, a Decore in, I do think that would probably spell the end for McCarthy. Yeah,
I just give Decore as an example because we know that Silva, like, you know, they're like buddies and he loves them. Terry, what do you think about this whole situation? What do you think we're going to do with McCarthy? Because, you know, McCarthy's opinion is pretty important in all this as well.
I think he'll go. I think we'll sell him. For how much, I don't know, considering, you know, our bargaining position's not going to be very good considering his last couple of years. I mean, Max said there, when he first came into the club, he was outstanding. He was one of our best players, and we missed him when he wasn't playing. Like, I think when we were chasing fourth in Roberto Martinez's first season, it really fell apart against Crystal Palace because we played a game without McCarthy in centre midfield and just got overrun. He was that important that a game without him cost us big. But it's got to be said, that was, what, 5-6 years ago? It's like, it's verging now into Jack Wilshere territory. Not in the sense of, you know, he gets injured every 2 minutes, but it's like, he's a good player, but when do you get to see it? When do you get to, like, play him? I don't know what's gone on this season. I genuinely thought, I may have said this in a much earlier episode, but I thought we'd see him throughout Christmas. I thought that goal, Mario game, you know, he comes back and thought, just around Christmas week, like when all the players we've got, so a lot of the new players are going to be not used to that. Like, you know, a lot of, like, not just players in centre midfield either, but like Luca Dean, Bernard, everyone, they're all going to be really flagging. To have a midfielder come in fresh with the energy that McCarthy had, I thought it might be nailed on, but he still hasn't, he's not even making many benches now. So I just don't think the club see him as him as having a future here. And I think he's one of the players who you probably will get another Premier League club come in for because he is a good player on his day. The club will take a chance on him at a probably reduced fee because of the injuries. But I don't know. I think he could be a player here, but it's a long, you know, the reality is it's a long shot that he's even going to be, you know, fit most of the time. Because that horrific leg break wasn't the only injury he had before that. He had a spell where he was constantly picking up, you know, muscle injuries, and he'd get back just in time for an Ireland squad and he'd go away with it and he'd come back injured again. And yep. We had our managers falling out with the Ireland managers, and I just think his time at Everton is up. Good player, still got something to offer, but clearly I think Silva brings the players who he sees as his guys around him and uses them, and the ones who aren't, you don't hear from them, you don't see from them. And McCarthy has just been going to training every day for months now, fully fit and ready to play, and he's not even making the squads. Yeah. So I think that's a big indicator that he's probably going to be out the door. And we're going to bring in other players to replace him. I don't think that the Idrissa Gueye situation changes. I think Brands and Silva might just look at players in isolation. And McCarthy probably wants to go as well, because he probably feels like he should have contributed more and he could have contributed more now, but he's not been playing.
Yeah. I think we're going to buy Gomez. You know, I do. And I do think Idrissa Gueye is going to go. And I think we'll buy a player to replace Idrissa Gueye, but not in the exact same mold. Same thing we were talking about earlier, guys. I think it'll be because Silva likes to play a certain way, and he likes those players to be a certain mold of player. I do think it'll be someone in a Decore type of mold, but I don't really think it'll be Decore, Max, like you were saying. I think Tom Davies, he'll stay. And I think Morgan Schneiderlin has worked his way back in. So at this point, I just don't know where the room is for McCarthy to play. Now, you're right. I actually put on here, what if he, do we think he'll ever recapture that first season of Martinez form. You know what I mean? Which is hard to figure out because he's older. He's had injuries, and none of us are psychic as far as I know. So trying to predict that, I don't know. But so many muscle injuries down the road, it's hard to have that. He plays a position where...
Yeah, I was going to say, so many muscle injuries when your game is predicated on covering ground.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, it's not going to do your legs any favors, is it?
It's hard. It's really hard. I mean, I realize if we get a different type of player than an Idrissa Gueye, we won't necessarily need a straight-up ball winner the way Idrissa Gueye has been. But that was still part of McCarthy's game. You know what I mean? So... it's hard for me to envision him becoming the exact same player. I agree. I think he'll go somewhere and he'll get a starting role somewhere. And he may even have a decent little career. I just don't think we'll see the same player that we saw his first year. And for that, you know, he's a guy I like. I do. You know, any kind of negative feelings I had toward him for kind of going off and getting injured, you know, they've kind of subsided because of his injuries. And I'm pulling for him now. You know what I mean? I want him to do well, but I just think I think he's moving on. I do. And if Schneiderlin had not come in, I may be singing a different tune right now. But Schneiderlin become a different guy.
I thought that McCarthy would come in ahead of Schneiderlin eventually, because on paper McCarthy is very much a Marco Silva type player. He's not just a tackler; he is a sort of all action box to box player who can contribute going in both directions, which is why. It surprised me that he's not really featured. I would have thought that, not exactly like Decore, but that sort of template of a player that, you know, picks it up on the edge of his own box, but can also be effective on the edge of the opposition box and, you know, all over the pitch. He seemed the tailor-made Marco Silva central midfielder, but hasn't kicked the ball other than that friendly. So it must be that he just doesn't see a long-term future. Maybe the club themselves have decided that they're not willing to, carry on with them with all the, you know, the aggro with the Ireland squads and that. I mean, that's a little bit conspiracy theory, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those players where if he ended up, you know, kicking it in gear in training and Silva sees that, it seems like Silva rewards that. He sees it and he does reward these sorts of things. I don't think Silva is a dumb guy. I think he's a pretty sharp guy who really cares and is not on vacation every chance he gets. I think he's usually at training. Yeah, that was a dig. But
I get it.
I think he does reward players, the ones that he feels like are doing the most work for his system. And if McCarthy's working hard and if he feels like he deserves it, then he'll get a shot. Now, of course, we'd be delighted if that happens. Right now, it's just not looking like it because there's not a lot of season left. So, anyway, respect to James McCarthy. But I don't know. It may be a mutual thing. Both sides decide we need to part, you know? So, anyway, we all like him, though. Hey. All right, so enough about James McCarthy. That was our glimpse into the darkest depths of the squad right now, sadly for James. But we do think he'll end up being a starter somewhere, some point soon. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Terry against Max in a cage match of Toffees, Wit, and Might. Spiel over. So this is going to be another starting 11 quiz for these two fine gentlemen to show off their Everton chops, their know-how, their elbow grease, to see how deep does their knowledge dip. All right, well, I am curious. This one is not from last year or the year before. It's a little earlier. All right. This will be a starting 11 quiz. And for those of you who don't understand how a starting 11 quiz works, figure it out. good luck to you. No, I mean, it's pretty simple. I'll say, hey, who started in this game from the 1800s? And they have to tell me who started. for Everton. And then if it will also include subs that played. And after that, if we still need tiebreakers, we'll go into who scored the goals. And it should be done before then, though, because this one is a little harder. And they'll take turns. That's how it works. All right. So, gentlemen, this is my memory card that I'll be flipping. Heads and tails. Whose turn to call it? We have no idea. Terry's calling it. And he says heads. It is tails. Max, first or second?
Second, please.
Shocking. All right. Cue intense quiz music. It builds. It's a slow builder, making the mix very difficult in post. But there it is. It's going. All right. So, gentlemen, May 16th, 2009. Everton 3, West Ham 1. Who were our starters and subs that played? Terry, you will be kicking us off.
What year?
2009.
Tim Howard.
It's a good guess, dude. That he did start.
Stephen Pienaar.
Another good one. He started as well. Terry, we're back to you, dude.
Tim Cahill.
I'm familiar. Yes, he started.
Leighton Baines.
Yes. That is a correct answer as well. Terry?
May 2009, so I can remember who was injured, because they were injured for the FA Cup
final. Yeah.
So Yobo will have played.
Yobo did play. Wow. Sorry. I just marvel at you gents. Max.
Do you want me to just give you a weird bit of trivia? I remember Leon Osman being on the front of the program for this game, so I'm going to say Leon Osman.
Yeah, well, he started.
Yeah,
so,
I remember the game.
I don't think this is a weird bit of trivia. I think this is a good way for you to know the answers. That's pretty smart. All right, Terry, I'm back with you, dude.
I'm going to go with the centre-back partner. I'm going to go with Lescott.
And yes, he did start.
Philip Neville.
Yeah, you guys are doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. Got three more starters, and then subs.
So we've had Neville, we've had Osman. There was no Arteta; he was injured. Marouane Fellaini.
Fellaini, yes, Fellaini did start. You know what? I think maybe the intense quiz music. Let's switch it up some. All right. So, Ben, give us. It doesn't have to be Little Spanish Fleas. Some other random, like, game show music from the past. Surprise us is what I'm saying. And there it is. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Has Tim Cahill been said?
Yeah.
Yes, he has.
I said it first.
2009, Louis Saha.
Louis Saha did start. One more name on the starters. And you can, and obviously there are subs. So if you say a sub's name, it will count. That played.
I think I know, because I remember, because he should have started the final. And if we if he had a start at the final, we may have won. Lars Jakobsen.
That is the final starter. Guys, this is getting sort of ridiculous.
The FA Cup final sort of era, I remember it.
That was like, these are my favourite days of following Everton here. Like, these are like my prime, like in primary school.
I like how you guys tell me that you have these lives that you go back to when you clearly are studying nothing but Everton trivia, like, you know. All of the rest of your time. There's no way. This is real. It's really good. Max.
Jack Rodwell
came in the 69th minute for Marouane Fellaini.
Yakubu was injured, so Saha started. So it can only really be one of two players who came in for a striker. It would either be a Victor Anichibi or James Vaughan. I'm going to go with James Vaughan.
That's a good one to go with, because he came in the 80th minute for Louis Saha.
I've got one, and it's not one of the names that you mentioned that I remember, because me and my granddad absolutely hated him when he was at Everton because he was so lazy. Joe.
That is the last sub, 80th minute for Cahill.
That was the season where he scored his hat-trick on his debut, wasn't it?
Guys, yeah. Guys, we are now on to goal scorers. And Ben, it wouldn't be the worst idea if you rock another different song, because you guys are running these songs down. And there's a new song. Nice.
Is it my turn? Or?
Yes, it is.
I think Saha scored.
He did. Saha scored.
I remember the game, though. Like, I know who scored as well, because... But... So, and I'll tell you off camera as to why I remember it, but I literally remember the game and I know who scored the other goal too.
Alright, hold on. So Saha scored. Who's next, Max?
Yeah, Saha scored twice and Joe Yovo got one too, scored a header. Gladys Street end. I was in the Gladys Street with my dad.
So Max, you have given the answer for yours and one of Terry's there.
I didn't mean that. I just thought because he said Saha that he covered both goals.
I was insinuating that it was... Yeah, it's fine. So, we're out of those. Now, who scored for West Ham? This is ridiculous.
I don't know. I can't remember who was playing for West Ham at that time. Can we not do the players on the bench who never got used? Because I can remember once.
I mean, we can go into those, but eventually we will have to do the West Ham scorers.
I don't know. I can't think of anyone for West Ham.
Max, are you fine if... I was going to say, Max, are you fine if he goes into subs and didn't play, or what?
Yeah, sure. I was going to take I'm going through the West Ham team at that time. I just know Zola was the manager, but in terms of players, Carlton Cole, but that's about it.
I can only remember Mark Noble because he was there like since time began. Okay, so am I okay to name the non-playing subs?
Yes.
Okay, Carlo Nash.
Yes.
Remember that because he's the keeper.
Dan Gosling.
I knew you were going. Up. I didn't even have to ask you. I could have just like said it for you. All right, go ahead, Terry.
If Jakobsen played, was Hibbert on the bench?
Hold on, is that your guess? Are you saying?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Hibbert was on the bench.
Oh. Push me here. I'm going through all different types of this. Like, I probably used to still do like the squad at that time. Segundo Castillo. Because he had legs like.
Eyes in the world. Yeah.
He had legs like tree trunks.
That is correct. Okay? So, I have one more bit of information, which is the West Ham score. Each one of you guess. And so Terry, do you want to stick with your guess? Or
I'll have to, because I can't remember any West Ham players other than him from that time.
Okay, Terry says Mark Noble. Max, who do you say?
Lewis Bahamute. I remember him playing for West Ham. Can't think he's good, though. I just remember our goals.
The goal in the 24th minute. I'm not going to say this dude's name right. Kovac. K-O-V-A-C.
No, it just makes me think of Bayern Munich manager.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Niko Kovac. Kovac. I always thought... I always see that and I'm like, is that Kovac? I'm not sure. But, yeah. Kovac for West Ham. 24th minute. So, guys, do I pick now? Is that what's happening? Because you guys got everything right. Oh,
you have to pick.
Let me go through my Spotify.
It's finally happened. You have to pick.
Oh my gosh.
Quizmaster John, don't do 2009 again. We both remember it really well.
Did so well. It was ridiculous.
The golden age. In Europe.
Let's see here.
FA Cup final.
You know what? I would have struggled earlier in that season, but the fact that it was May, I remembered it.
The end of the season.
Because I can remember the cup final so well. Because it was like Jagielka, Arteta and Yakubu, the spine of the team, were all injured for that final. It bothers me to this day.
Mikel Arteta, I was there. I fucking could have done in. It was harsh. And that was when Anichibi broke his leg at Newcastle away. That's why he went in the squad.
That's why I went with Vaughan, because that was when Kevin Nolan done him, wasn't it? Come on, Jerry, this is your time to shine on the song.
I am going to go with Coffee and TV by Blur. Which, we talked about this a long time ago. I told you, it's a video I saw a long time ago, and basically it's this little milk carton look, you know, it's got a picture like missing, and it's got the little, the guy on it, and the milk carton's like running around the city trying to find the guy who's missing on the milk carton. And I remember seeing the video long, long time ago, and that was my first introduction to Blur. And then song 2 came out, and I was like, well, this is cool and all, but I've heard it so much, I'm like, I've had enough. I like the other Blur stuff now, you know what I mean? So this one in particular, it's just, I connected with it. I don't know why, it's just happy. I just feel happy right now. I'm very at peace, and this song is just, you know, it's just, it gets my head going back and forth. It's just a happy... So I've done, like, you know, Tenacious D in the past. I usually like to drop something that's unexpected. So, yes, I feel like the last thing you would expect from me is a Blur song that didn't make it on the radio. I'm not supposed to know that stuff. So, that is what's happening. So, Ben, cue that up whenever you like. And, And I realize I can generate no conversation on this because these guys are like, I don't really know.
It is some conversation from this. I was in uni the other day, and a lad sitting behind me in one of my lectures was just going off on how much he hated Blair. Don't get me wrong, right? I'm a massive Oasis fan, and I think Oasis are so much better. But he was going like, oh, compare Oasis versus Blair, this, that, and the other. I was like, it's like the Messi-Ronaldo debate, isn't it?
Yes.
Oasis and Messi, and Blair and Ronaldo, like, Messi/Oasis, are clearly better. But just appreciate them both. They're very good.
People love all that, though, don't they? Like, Apple and PlayStation and Xbox, they absolutely love it. Anything they can be on a team, they just want to do it.
Well, and it's that whole, like, ranking thing. So we have this thing inside us where, like, oh, we have to know who's the best. We have to know what's the best. What's the best Marvel movie? What's your top five? You know what I mean? Like, we have this thing with feeling like we need to rank things. When in reality, things are just complicated, and it's really difficult to just straight up quantify things. You know what I mean? With movies, like, quantifying it. What's the highest selling record of all time? No, that is not what's the best. You know what I mean? It's subjective. It's all about what you like, you need, you know? Like, I've listened to way more Oasis than I have Blur. But I feel like I'm just trying to listen to more Blur because I know a lot of people like them. So that's, yeah. I like some of it I don't. Oh well, it's the way it is. So, I don't know. That's one of the things. I feel like our group understands the fact that the world is pretty gray.
Ready.
It's a great world. It's just the way it is.
Apart from when Everton win.
And then it's very blue, yes. And that is a good line to end on. That's the end of our big show. Podcasters, thanks so much for listening. Leave us a kind review if you like. Subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. There's nothing holding you back. Nothing. It's on Spotify now, so what? Very cool things. if you want to see our faces, the Talking Blues YouTube channel is like a perfect place to do that. So check that out. Do that. If you want more Terry, check out the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. He'll tell you when he's going to be there on his Twitter. So look there. Also, check Max's Twitter. He'll tell you when he's going to be in the many places he's going to be. But also, the Toffee Blues website, he puts a lot of analysis on there. And you should just check out the Toffee Blues website anyway, because why not? There's all kinds of, like, really, you know, awesome blues giving you information on there. So, yeah, all things Everton on there. Follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. No more plugging. It is time for me to unplug and try to get this footage out there to the world. So thanks so much, Terry. Good to see you, buddy.
You too, guys. Always a pleasure.
Max, man, good stuff.
As always, thanks for having me.
All right, much love to you guys, and yeah, happy days. We can smile and actually mean it now. It's great. All right, guys. So I'll talk to you later. Until later in the week. Much love. Bye bye.